Our study this morning is understanding the two themes of the Bible. Now, this study is actually inexhaustive. There's no way in the world that we can study all these charts. Basically, I'm just going to use them as a visual, just to go along. We will probably just barely scratch the surface, but then again, I think that we can actually see the division in the Bible as it is. I'm sure that we all know this, so this is pretty much just an example of an approach that I use that is very successful in showing an unbeliever or somebody that doesn't know the gospel. It works well for me, and I just thought I would just bring the charts along and just use them as a visual. And I'm going to, I have notes here. If I don't use these notes, I'm just going to be scattered all over the place. So in order to make this clear and short and precise, just bear with me for a minute. The two great themes of the Bible, prophecy and mystery. First, I think we should step back a little bit, and I want to talk a little bit about revelation. You know, what is revelation? Pretty much revelation is God's speaking through the prophets, revealing himself to man. Now we understand that, you know, we humans, you know, we can't, you know, we're limited. God is unlimited. We're finite. God is infinite. There's no way that we can discover God. God has to reveal himself. So in this process, we're going to see how God reveals himself. No one has ever seen God. You know, with our five sense knowledge, you know, we can't see God, we can't feel God, we can't taste God, we can't smell God. You know, we know, where is God? With our five sense knowledge, he's not here. We can't see him. So God basically has to take the first initiative to reveal himself. He has to disclose himself, make himself known. He takes the first step in the process of revelation. I mean, if God didn't say that I'm God, how would we know that he is God, or God is God? So, you know, briefly, there's two types of revelations what we're dealing with here in this study: general revelation and special revelation. General revelation pretty much is visible or revealed to all people at all times in all places. Pretty much, you see it in nature. Revelation is pretty much revealed by nature. And if you can turn to me with to Romans 1. Romans 1. Pardon me, Romans 19:1. Oh, gee whiz, I made a mistake here. Pardon me?
Take your time.
Oh, okay.
1:19 is what you're looking
for. Yeah, 1:19. Romans 1:19. Is that it?
Yes.
Romans 1:19. Yes, that's it. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, God through nature has revealed himself, and he's left everyone without excuse. That's pretty much general revelation. Now, there's another type of revelation known as special revelation. And special revelation is God revealing himself through, he reveals himself through, how should I say this? Well, let's look at some ways he reveals himself. He reveals himself through visions. He reveals himself through dreams. And he reveals himself through divine speech. You know, God speaks. Now, in this special revelation, we see where God, if we turn to Jeremiah 34, it says, for these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. You can see that God is speaking. You know, he says that he spoke. And if we go to Isaiah 8, Isaiah 8:11, it says, for the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. See, God, he's speaking. That's divine revelation. And, you know, there's another kind of revelation. We're not dealing with it here, but it's a form of revelation. It's inspiration. It's inspiration to where God, he has to find a way to preserve his word. He has to find a way to preserve it and make it, actually, to have it written and to be preserved for other ages and generations. And what he does is if a prophet, and you've heard the term that politics is local. Well, in a sense, you know, prophecy, when it was spoken, it was local. All the prophets weren't in Jerusalem. You had prophets that were around Jerusalem. Now, just say, for example, that one of the prophets spoke, but before he had a chance to record, maybe he passed away. So now we have a portion of God's word that is missing. So how do we know that we have the word of God complete? Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:19. It says, Peter's speaking of the prophetic scriptures, and he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but the holy man of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So now we have the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that is preserving the Scripture.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is making sure that it's written, recorded, and preserved.
Okay.
That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. But what we are really interested in here, though, is God in His divine speech. And we're going to get to that right now. Okay, now with all this said, we're gonna turn to prophecy and the charts. Here we have prophecy pretty much in its broadest sense, and we can't touch all of this. So pretty much these charts are basically a visual, just to follow along, and we're gonna just go through them and just see what we can find here. God's prophecy pretty much is God's purpose for the earth and Christ's reign upon the earth. Well, if you look at the prophecy chart, and if you look to the top left, you see prophecy. It says God's purpose program for the earth and Christ's rule upon it. And pretty much it foretells the messianic kingdom. And if you go down the list, you can see, well, there's this character that one of the characteristics of this is that it's earthly. It's written to the Jewish nation. There's no heavenly position in here. Everything is on earth, and we can see right here that in that first statement it says, "I shall give thee the nations for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." That's in Psalms. It says the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord. It says that kings shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment in the earth. Now if you go down to 7, you can see they're numbered. If you go to number 7, it says, "And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Well, now we know that Israel did not rise. But now if you follow across the chart, you see all the books of the prophets. You have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The prophets foretell this kingdom gospel, and now the four Gospels are in that kingdom. Then you have the book of Acts, which is pretty much the book between. But the book between prophecy and mystery. If that book wasn't there, we wouldn't know what happened. There wouldn't be a bridge. But with that right there, that transition right there, we see that we know. And then you have the general epistles. You have Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelations. Now Hebrews, yeah, there may be some Pauline truth in there, but it says epistle to the Hebrews.
That's right.
So I'm going to just place it right here. But then you have James, Peter, John, Jude, Book of Revelations. And you know, right here is, I think, when the writers of the Bible put the Bible together, I think they should have designated the general epistles. They should have said Hebrew epistles, because they're sitting right in the back of Paul's. They follow Paul's epistles. And with Peter having somewhat of a revelation of the mystery, he kind of confuses it. You know, you're going to get a confused message. But anyway, there's a note that says, prophecy, prophesied since the world began. Meaning that God created the world, he set man in the earth, and then he began to speak to man. He began to prophesize. And he prophesies the kingdom of heaven on earth. Pretty much God's purpose, his will, his ways for man. Now, we know at the cross that Christ was rejected. And if you go across, you see the transfiguration, you see the ascension, you see the descension of the Holy Spirit, you see Jacob's trouble. You see the return of Christ. And if you look down at the bottom, you see Israel born again in due time. Now, we see where the Gentiles were to come into the light by Israel's rising. So, are we going to wait way over here to the end times before we receive our salvation? Do we got to go through Jacob's trouble? Do we got to return? Do we got to wait for Christ's return to be born again like Israel? No, we're like Paul. We're born out of due time. You know, Paul compared his conversion to Israel's conversion. They were to receive their Messiah when he rode in on his donkey. The acceptable year of the Lord. They were to receive him, and they didn't. So God set them aside. So their future salvation, they will be born again in due time after they go through tribulation. Israel's history is nothing but judgment, punishment, and judgment. Under the law. They failed to keep the law. They have to go through tribulation. That's pretty much, I just want you to see this. Now, you see that New Jerusalem there. If you go to Matthew 19:28. We have Matthew. We have the 12 apostles, and they're talking about this future kingdom. And Peter's saying, it says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, the Lord, Behold, we have forespoken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." It doesn't say judging the Gentiles. So now, let's turn to Revelations. I just want to mark your conscience here. I think Revelations 21. Revelations 21. Now here we have the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, it descends from heaven, it's set in the earth, and we have in verse 12. It says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names on the gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And if you go down to 14, it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, I just want to ask, you know, where is Paul? You know, Paul's our apostle. He's apostle to the Gentiles. You know, where is our throne? It's not there. You see, this is something that a lot of people, they miss. But our throne is in heaven. Paul says we have a heavenly position. He says our citizenship is in heaven. So pretty much in a nutshell, this is prophecy. Now I want to turn to the blue chart, the mystery. Now this mystery is called the dispensation of the grace of God. And it's the present church age. And it's basically God's purpose for the earth and Christ's reign upon the earth. And if we go down the list right here, you can see that it concerns a body, a living organism, the body of Christ, given a position in heaven, Christ, the living head, the body chosen in Christ before the world began. Now, that's kind of interesting there, before the world began. Because prophecy was after the world began, from the foundation of the world. But you can see that God had us in mind all along. But I mean, he had to reveal himself to someone. He revealed himself to Israel. Now, you've seen where Isaiah said that we would come to the light of Israel's rising. So ultimately the Gentiles were going to come in anyway. But we see right here that this program, God had it in mind all along.
Yes.
He had it in mind all along. Now if you go through the books, Acts 9:28, you know, that's where the rising of Paul begins. And you have the epistles of Paul, you have Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon. And if you go down to the bottom, you can see Paul's conversion. Now, we know Paul couldn't have been one of the 12 because he persecuted the church. He couldn't have been. He had to have followed Jesus in and out of his ministry. So if you can see where Paul is raised and the gospel of grace begins. And he visits Jerusalem. He abodes with Peter. Now Peter, he had a little bit of the knowledge, because he had the vision. You know, this is pretty much where prophecy and the mystery coincide. Peter and Paul both have visions. And Peter's vision is looking at the Gentiles coming in. Paul's vision is looking at the Jews falling. So, now Paul is a witness to this change in dispensations. So when Paul does go up to Jerusalem like he did at the council, and he's speaking to the council and he's telling them how he was sent to the Gentiles, and even before King Agrippa, he says that he had a heavenly vision. And this heavenly vision, you can see where it says, It says that Paul returned 14 later to Jerusalem, and he went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel that he preaches among the Gentiles. And you see a note down there, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that my gospel was preached of me is not after man, for neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he had revelations. And if you go across Paul, if you go to the next area over here, you see Paul's vision and revelations. He says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And he goes on to say, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years. So he's got a revelation, and he says, and caught up to the third heaven, and that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which are not lawful for a man to utter. Now, them unspeakable, what did he hear that was unspeakable? Now, I kind of think what he heard, it was the law. At that time, you could not speak against the law. You could be killed for speaking against the law. So he says that I heard unspeakable words. And what did he hear? It was given to him, God's grace, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And he formed the body of Christ. If you go down, you can see the new creation, body of Christ revealed, a new union with Christ. And you know, what is this new union? If you go down further, the body of Christ, Christ the head, church members his body, unity of the Spirit, created by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:1-6, 1 Corinthians 12:13. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. You know, that's, and then if you go down further, you can pretty much, that sums it all up, and what we have left in this earth is the abiding Trinity, faith, hope, and love. That's all we have, faith, hope, and love, until the Lord returns. But now you can see the difference between these two Gospels. You know, Paul, when he went up to Jerusalem, he said that the 12 apostles added nothing to him. They couldn't add nothing to him. But he had a lot to add to them. He had the revelation of the mystery. Now this mystery, it says that it was kept secret. Since it says that it was kept secret. But now, what actually is that mystery? In Ephesians 3:1, it says that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we have these spiritual blessings. Now, just for example, if I had a coin in my pocket right now, I got a coin in my pocket. You don't know what it is. It's a mystery. But I know what it is. Now I can call it a secret. Now, as I reveal this to you, it's not a mystery anymore. But Paul calls his gospel the mystery. But there is the gospel of the mystery, and there's a mystery of the gospel. But Paul says, basically, my gospel is called the mystery. It's the mystery. Now, there are things in this gospel which are a mystery. And Paul, as he revealed this, it goes on to say that it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. But it was revealed by the Holy Spirit, in a sense, to the prophets. But it was revealed to the prophets as Paul revealed it to them. The Holy Spirit revealed it. Paul spoke it, and then the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. It was Paul. Paul says his gospel was a mystery. The prophets didn't know about it. Nobody knew about it but Paul. So you can see what's going on here. You know, there's a change in dispensations. Now, I just want to show some comparisons between the two charts, the prophecy and the mystery. If you look at prophecy, it concerns representatives of the nation Israel. The mystery concerns representatives of the body of Christ. One man, both Jew and Greek, reconciled into one body. Prophecy is 12 men, 12 tribes, 12 thrones. In prophecy, you can see that it was called by Christ while on earth. The mystery, knew only Christ in heaven. Paul only knew Christ in heaven. The 12 only knew Christ on earth. Sent to proclaim Israel and the nations. That's prophecy. Sent to Israel and the nations. That's prophecy. Paul, he was sent to proclaim God's secret purpose, salvation of the Gentiles through Israel's fall. He was sent to the nations. To all men everywhere. So you can see Paul's gospel. Can you come to this third chart? It's the prophecy and the mystery. It's the prophecy and the mystery combined. You can see where Paul supersedes the 12. I put these two themes together just so that we can just follow along and see what happened here. The two great themes of the Bible, prophecy and mystery. We have prophecy over on the left, God's purpose for the earth, Christ's reign upon it. And we have all the books of the prophets, the four gospels, Acts of the Apostles, the general epistles, the book of Revelations. You can see where the gospel begins. The kingdom at hand. We see where Christ is crucified. We see where he ascends. We see the descension of the Holy Spirit. And we see where pretty much Acts 1 through 7 deals with. It represents a period of about 1 year. And it deals with this transition here. You see the mystery. You see, it comes next. You see where, at this time right here, you have the mystery and you have the grace running side by side. That's a transitional period of about maybe 30 years, they say. But you can see that the kingdom programs at hand and the mysteries at hand. But now if you go a little bit further and you see where Israel has been rejected, you can see where grace supersedes the law. And you see the rapture of the church, then you see Jacob's trouble, then you see the kingdom continue, you see the new Jerusalem. And here again we see Israel born again in due time. Now this chart, if you can imagine, if you can picture the Bible here, If you can picture this Bible, this chart is laid out exactly in order to the Bible. What we have, well, let me do it like this. If you take all Paul's epistles from Romans all the way, you have a division. If I was to take this and take it out the Bible, you know, you can do that because you know God, you're not going to lose your salvation. But just take this out and read the Bible, and you won't see anything about heaven. Nobody's going to heaven. Everything's on earth. It's not there. And if you was to take all the prophecy out and then just have Paul's epistles, nobody's going to be on earth. We're all going to heaven. You see? It's a division. Now, say for example, we're living in the times of Revelations. We're in Revelations. And we have the Word in front of us. And we're looking through Genesis. And we see where God is revealing Himself. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. And He's speaking to man. He's not speaking to Israel yet. But if we truck through Genesis, you know, we can see where Israel comes in. And we can see a kingdom. And we keep going through there, we see, come to the Gospels, and we see, oh, the kingdom is at hand. Christ is revealed. And we go a little bit further, we say, in the Gospels, we say, oh, wow. And we see where Christ was rejected. We go a little bit further and we see to Acts, go to the book of Acts, we see the ascension of Christ. And we go a little bit further in the book of Acts, we see where Saul, who was now Paul, was raised on the road to Damascus. Now if we go to Romans and all his books, what we see is we see the mystery and the body of Christ. Now, as we get up to the end of Romans, the end of the gospel, we see the rapture of the church. And we say, wow, the church is gone. So now we get up to Revelations, and we're in Jacob's trouble to say the 7-year tribulation, and we go a little bit further, and now we're looking at these bowl judgments, and we say, wow. You know, we're in Revelations. So pretty much Revelations becomes our doctrine for today. We better pay heed to Revelations. Although this past gospel is all truth, but it's former truth. You see? Now, as we're in Revelations, we can look back and say, wow, this is all profitable for us. We can learn, we can understand by this, but it's not our doctrine. We better pay heed to Revelations. You see? Now, you know, you can see this in Peter, in 2 Peter. You know, Peter, he talked about present truth. He was speaking to the tribulation saints, and he was saying that what had been given to them was present truth. But at the same time that he was calling that present truth, you know, Paul was raised and was preaching the mystery. So we can see that Peter, he didn't really have the full knowledge of the truth. So we have to rightly divide the word. Right. Know where we're at, so that we can actually understand and be in the will of God. It's kind of funny, you know, we talk about, you hear all this stuff about fake news. You see all this fake news out here. Well, you know, fake news has been in the Bible for, I don't know, I mean, been in the church for I don't know how long. You know, we got to be able to discern, you know, what's real and what's not, and and to know it, so that we, you know, we don't fall. But from the beginning of time, Paul, when he first was raised, he was rejected from the beginning. And I think Polycarp, one of the first century fathers, I think he followed John. And I think Irenaeus followed Paul. So right from the beginning of that time, you know, we had a division, you know, in the church. We had people arguing and fighting over what was truth and what wasn't truth. And even to this day, you know, the church has, you know, failed to recognize Pauline truth. You know, they want to go back to the Gospels. You know, I had a lady tell me that I was trying to explain the mystery to her, and we were standing out in the hallway, and the church was in the room, and I'm telling her about Paul, and she says, "Well, I'm following Jesus," right in there. I said, "Well, I'm following Jesus too." I'm following Jesus too. But according to Paul, not according to the 12. You know, that's our marching orders for the church today. And, you know, that's why we have so much confusion in the church. That pretty much, I better stop here. That pretty much covers what I wanted to show. I can't, there's no way that we can really, I mean, this chart is actually mapping the Bible out, and there's no way that we can, in a lifetime, ever discover all the truths in the Bible. But I just want you to see that this chart, these charts are a really good visual for people that can't see it in the Word. You can show them these charts. I've had really good success showing these charts, and people just say, "Wow, how did you get that?" Well, just study the Word. Some people need visuals, but you know, we have to study the Word. You know, Timothy says, "Study the Word to show thyself approved of God." So when you study, you're approved of God. He says, "You're a workman. What does a workman do? He gets his shovel and his pick, and he goes to digging. And what does he get? He gets a rightly divided word. There's no confusion." So I just want to end this here, and if there's any questions. No questions? We'll stop right here then. Oop.
I have one question. With the apostles, would you, you know, it's hard to divide. What would they be considered with the Jews, or would they be considered with the Gentiles?
Like the apostles?
Are they under the Jewish?
They're under the kingdom program. You know, they're Israel's apostles.